Hi everyone, welcome to Online Church here at SDC Sheffield. Our theme today is the new normal. In other words, what does normal life look like for us now, 2 weeks after Easter Day, in these crazy lockdown days? And how can we as followers of Jesus live his better life and be a godly example to those around us? Today's message is a springboard into the month of May. Yes, it's nearly May. Where's the time gone? When our Sunday online church, including these Bible messages, will focus on the better life we are called to live, and particularly how the Lord wants to release his fruit, his fruitfulness in us and through us to those around us. Now, you hear the phrase the new normal quite a lot these days, and it means different things to different people. But for most people, I would surmise it's a negative thing. It's a restriction, a limitation on our lives. That's what lockdown actually means. That's why it's so tough to do. However, as Christians, our new normal has to be positive. For us, it's a releasing thing because it's based not on worldly assumptions, but on the resurrection of Jesus, which we celebrated 2 weeks ago. Nicky Gumbel, the vicar of Holy Trinity Brompton Church in London, says this, that the resurrection of Jesus is rooted in history, is grounded in scripture, and is confirmed in experience. Well, our Bible reading this day in this Bible message is from Hebrews chapter 10, and it's a divine word, I believe, on living out our new normal in these days, from a word, a divine inspired word 2,000 years ago. Chapters 1 through 9 of the letter to the Hebrews talks about our faith, and chapter 10 kind of brings it in and looks at our faith, particularly together, our faith together in community, how we can live it out. Hebrews, you may be aware, was a letter written about AD 70. That's about 40 years after the resurrection of Jesus. Most people think it was written either by Apollos or Barnabas, not quite sure, but both of whom were friends of Paul. Written to a group of Christians, Hebrew Christians, who were trying to work out what it meant to live this new life of Jesus, so countercultural to the life, religious life they'd been brought up in. What was it like to live this better life, particularly in tough times? And at the heart of this fantastic letter is this phrase that Jesus is Lord. So our reading this morning is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25 from the NIV Bible, and this will appear on the screen now as I read it. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Great passage of scripture. So this morning, very simply, one great truth and two great actions which come out of that truth as we start to live out our new normal. First of all, this truth, this great truth, and this will appear on the screen, that God is faithful. Verse 23, he who promised is faithful. Just a moment to think and pause and ponder. If you've got young children in the room, that's going to be impossible. But maybe sometime this week you could find a moment just to pause and ponder. In ways in which Jesus has been faithful to you and to those you love in these past years. In fact, how has he been faithful to you this year already, this week? How has he been faithful to you this day? You see, when we really think about it, We know as Christians that our God is faithful, and because of that, we can be confident in Jesus. Why? Because he is risen, because he is faithful, because he is moving in your life and my life today, right now, in this moment, and because Jesus is Lord. And if he's our Lord, he's our provider, he's our protector, and he's our peace in these days of challenge. So that's the great truth, that God is faithful. And coming out of that truth are these two great actions which we can put into place. Action number one, and this will appear on the screen, verse 24. We're encouraged to spur one another on to love and good deeds. I love that phrase, spur one another on. It's a word which means to provoke or to stimulate. I don't think many churches could be called places where you are provoked. Most churches actually are a bit sleepy. I think there's not much provocation from heaven going on in the church. But I think things are changing now with this great challenge the church is going through. I think the Holy Spirit is provoking the church, stimulating the church. But what to? Well, to love and good deeds. I see a lot of comment at the moment around from prophets who are saying, we told you so, this would happen. This is God changing the church and we need to do... And maybe there's some truth in that. But you know what? Right at this moment, we don't need that kind of word. We need a word which is about love and good deeds. That's what people need, and that's what the church needs. So this writer is saying, come on, in these challenging days, spur one another on, provoke one another to love and good deeds. And the word love there is a word we're familiar with in the New Testament, the word agape. This means this love, this deep, refreshing love which comes from God. And the term good deeds is a lovely word. It's a word which means beautiful and noble actions. Do you not like that word? It's so full, isn't it, and rich. Beautiful and noble actions. And because of this, because this call to action, to spur one another on and to love and good deeds, as his people, we can be expectant of Jesus. Because as we do these beautiful and noble, everyday simple acts of kindness and generosity, in his name, as we set off into our day, he will be with us. Our faithful God will be with us. And our words and simple actions will bring his goodness to others, whilst at the same time deeply blessing our lives. It's a wonderful thing, this. And it struck me that how can we do this practically? And I mean, there's loads of stuff happening in our church at the moment, but four practical, beautiful and noble actions in this lockdown time, if I could make this suggestion to us. Number one, in our everyday lives now, let's be aware. Let's be aware. In other words, let's take the time to say hi to others. When we go on our daily walk, or we're on our exercise regime out there, We're keeping our social distance of 2 meters, yes, and you know, managing to step into the road to avoid people, but managing to avoid cars as well. Let's be aware to say hi to people as we pass. I'm passing the same people when I'm out and about. And actually, I am looking to catch their eye, and they are now looking to catch my eye. I'm waving, going, hi, okay, keep safe. A lot of people are saying that now. Keep safe, keep well. So let's be aware of people as we're out and about. And if the opportunity arises, I've been able to do this a few times, to actually say to people, how are you doing? Stopping in the street, doing well. Well, okay, keep safe and God bless. It actually, something happens there. So first of all, let's be aware in these days. Let's secondly be interested in people. If you're talking to people over the garden fence or keeping your distance or in a supermarket queue, and let's just be aware and interested and say, well, how are you and how are the family? Are you managing okay? It's good to do that. So be aware, be interested. Thirdly, let's be creative. I don't think this is a problem for SDC. I think this is an incredibly creative church family. Only got to look at the Streets of Light initiative that is happening. It's lots of creative action happening. But here's one I've been thinking about. If you're into quizzes, and I know lots of people are, what about a quiz down your street with your neighbours for adults and for kids? Maybe like a pub quiz type of thing for the adults and a kids a quiz. And push it through people's letterboxes, say where it's from. Here are some questions, and the answers will be pushed through your letterbox on Wednesday, and tell them where it's come from us at number 39 or whatever it is. And maybe some of the downloads we get on our Sunday kids sheet, maybe push them through a letterbox and say if the young children want to colour them in. Ways of being creative with our neighbours and friends. And fourthly, as we're being aware, we're being interested, being creative, be godly. Be godly with our neighbours and our colleagues. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Our non-Christian friends expect us to be godly and to be spiritual. They expect us. They know we go to church. They expect us to speak about prayer. And I think it'd be a great thing. And it struck me about colleagues, the people that we're not seeing now, they're in lockdown at home and working from home, to actually drop them a line or be in touch with them to say, just to let you know, thinking about you and praying for you. Is there anything you would like prayer for? As you know, I go to church and our church are praying at the moment for people during this time. I think we'd be surprised how many people would start coming back to us. So let's be godly. Let's be there and be the voice and the actions of Jesus. So that's just four ways. Be aware, be interested, be creative and be godly. All that wrapped up in this great action of spurring one another on to love and good deeds. But then the second action out of that, this will appear on the screen. The writer says, look, do not give up meeting together. Do not give up meeting together, but encourage one another. Encourage one another. And again, this phrase, not giving up, means to abandon gathering together. Now, you might say, well, Mick, how can we do that? We can't meet together, but we're meeting together online. So let's be aware who's there and who's not there and who's been missing the Zoom call for a number of weeks. Let's really not give up meeting together, STC. But also, as we meet together, let's encourage one another. It's one of the great words in the New Testament, this one. The word encourage here means to come close, to come alongside, to put an arm round and say, come on, you're doing great, well done. It's the same root word in the original Greek from which we get the Holy Spirit, the term Holy Spirit, the paraclete, the one who comes alongside to spur us on, to provoke us and say, come on, you're doing good. Just think, another moment to think now. Maybe now, if you've got the time, or later this week, who's encouraged you over these past days and weeks? Who's been on the phone? Who's been sending text messages? Who's been sending carrier pigeons to you? Who's been encouraging you? Just give thanks for them. Because they've been taking time out of their everyday lives, normal lives, and to think about you, to stop doing what they would normally do, watch Netflix or just relax, and think about you to encourage you. And out of that, let me ask you this question. Who have you been able to encourage in these days? It's great questions, aren't they? Maybe it's something you, as an individual, or as a couple, or as a family, or as a small group on the Zoom call could think about. You see, my experience, encouragement, I've been leading churches now for a long time, 30 years. I've been in leadership longer than that. In my experience, one of the greatest gifts Jesus gives is encouragement. And it's the gift that's so lacking in the church. We just don't see it that often, you know. And it's more than just say, yeah, well done, okay, good job, move on. It's more than that. It's more than that. It's a deep thing where somebody takes the time to actually say, can I just say that? It's so encouraging. It's a deep thing. It's a spiritual thing. The gift of encouragement. I would say, somebody said to me, what is the one gift, if I could pray for one gift from heaven, what would it be? Without hesitation, I would say the gift of encouragement, to encourage others. Because in doing that, you're not thinking about you, you're thinking about someone else. It's a wonderful thing. So let's change that today. Let's start sending these texts and emails, and let's find a pen and do an old-fashioned thing, write a quick letter to someone and encourage. And as we do that, as we meet together and as we encourage one another, we can be intentional for Jesus. Let's be intentional to meet and encourage one another. One of the great missionary heroes of mine, Jonathan Edwards, a great 19th century preacher and missionary, said this. See, why, he had two life resolutions. Number one was this: I will live for God. Number two was this: if no one else does, I still will. That's not bad, is it? He had another great phrase, which he said often, which is this: Lord, stamp eternity on my eyeballs. 2 weeks after Easter Day, we live a resurrection life. Our life is not just now, dear friends. It's into eternity. Never, ever forget that. SDC, you are truly an amazing church family. You really are. Trisha and I, along with the staff team, are hearing such great reports of how, as a church family, in all the busyness and all the challenge at the moment with jobs and furlough and looking after children and homeschooling, we as a church family are looking to make this scripture, this morning scripture, a reality. I was recalling just this week, I looked up the actual letter, a letter from Bishop Pete, our bishop, who came to preach last June. Seems a long time ago, doesn't it? And this is what he said, a little extract. He said, STC was healthy and relaxed. They were a people utterly confident and at ease with themselves. There was a quality culture. The worship reached the heights. The presence of God was so real. And what a hunger for the word. Thank you, SDC. Wow. Isn't that good? I read that and it encouraged me, because at the moment we're not in our church building and we're missing it. We're sad. I said that in Holy Week. We're sad about that. We love meeting together in our building. But you know what? We're not in the building, but we're still the same people. As a church, we are now scattered. We can't gather in one place. We're scattered. But here's the truth. The Lord has placed us now in every nook and cranny in our local communities. And he's done that for his purposes. And I don't know when we're going to meet again in the church building. I don't know. For our Sunday gathering, might be September. I don't know. I'm not focusing on that at the moment. There's lots of other things to do where God's at work. But let me say this to you. What a great day that will be when we meet together again. The Easter wooden crosses are still up. You may have noticed I've deliberately left them up outside the church with the word hope on. We've changed the word forgive to hope. We're going to leave it there till the lockdown finishes and we can go back in. The one inside on the dais will still be there. The church is left as it was when we left it during Lent. And our first Sunday back will be our Resurrection Sunday. The building will be overflowing with people. The banners will be lifted up. The worship will be immense. And we will celebrate the faithfulness of Jesus in our lives. But till then, dear friends, I'm getting carried away, aren't I? Till then, let's put this scripture into practice. Let's do noble and beautiful and simple things in Jesus' name. Let's meet online as often as we can, and let's be together at these gatherings on a Sunday in worship and prayer, hearing inspiring Bible messages which release God's fruitfulness in our lives. And the last word is from Jack and Bethany. The song at the beginning, Never Be Shaken. I love that song. Remember these words as we go into our week. When I walk through the valley, I will not fear, for you are my strength and my shield. And when everything around me is overtaken, I know I will never be shaken. Well done, church. You're doing great. God bless.